What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Cosmic Wonder. I'm Warren, and we'll be breaking down X-Men 97 Episode 8, which is really the first part to a three-part finale, all titled Tolerance is Extinction Part 1, which we got today, and then Part 2 and Part 3. We'll break down everything that you need to know about this last episode and talk about how I believe that it could actually be leading to an Avengers versus X-Men story in this finale. I do believe that the X-Men are about to be somewhat divided based off of all of the events that happened during this first season of X-Men 97, with Magneto being the new leader and Professor X being away, and everything that has happened leading up to now. I think that half of the X-Men might follow Magneto and half might follow Professor X, with the Avengers coming into the equation as well. We'll talk about how it seems that everything is leading up to this as we break down this episode. So if you're new to the channel, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the X-Men 97 breakdown videos, and of course other Marvel videos as well. Also, friendly reminder, we're trying to grow in other platforms as well, such as Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Instagram, Twitter. If you have those, we would super appreciate your support and following on there. So this episode starts off with some very, very important facts that Cable presents. And in the beginning, if you notice, Jean and Scott are talking, and it looks like they are doing a lot better. Jean is comforting Scott, talking about Cable. Scott says Cable leaves the room anytime he's there. Of course, if you remember in the third episode where Madeline, who is the actual mother of Cable, not Jean, and Scott, they sent their son, Nathan Summers, away into the future with Bishop. He would eventually go on to become Cable, who we see here. Couple of things about this scene right here is that Jean and Scott do seem to be getting along a lot better. And actually, if you notice here at the end of this scene, Scott actually grabs Jean by the waist. This is really important because it shows us that Scott and Jean are really getting over the funk that they had with Madeline and the whole clone issue. We're led to believe that Madeline is dead. I don't necessarily think she's dead yet, but more on that in a bit. But this is basically showing us it's the normal Scott and Jean, or almost at least normal, that we've known. They are still married, and despite the weird situation with Cable, they are together, and Jean does seem to kind of take over a mother role for Cable in this episode, as Scott kind of takes over the father role as well. But we did learn that when Bishop went into the future in the time travel portal, they actually got separated, Cable and Bishop, which is why Bishop is not with Cable coming back to the past now. Then Cable explains to everybody essentially who Bastion is and what happens in the future, and there are many important parts here. One is that he actually gets backing from the governments of the world because of what happens in Genosha, and we do see that actually happened in this episode. We do see that he was working with Val Cooper, the United Nations, and probably many governments around the world to do what he did. They're all kind of working together against the mutants. He then explains that these Prime Sentinels are created with the same virus that Mr. Sinister used on Nathan Summers, the child of Scott and Madeline, who eventually turns into Cable. This was all from the third episode that we saw all of this happens. This also shows us why Bastion actually needed Mr. Sinister. He needed Mr. Sinister's techno virus to create these Prime Sentinels, turning living organic people into essentially machines. And Beast even mentions that they're such a threat because they're still organic and they can literally give birth to a new species, which is why they're so dangerous, because they can wipe out humanity, literally make humans go extinct. Cable explains that basically if they don't stop Bastion now, what he saw happen 300 years in the future will eventually happen, which is where the Prime Sentinels do wipe out humanity. They essentially replace all human beings, and we're only left with Prime Sentinels and mutants who are actually slaves. In the 300 years, the Prime Sentinels will seek out and kill a majority of the mutants, but the ones that survive end up becoming slaves. So that is the future that they are trying to stop Bastion from creating now in the present time. Humanity getting erased and only several mutants remaining, but the ones that do remain are slaves. And we actually get a cool little cameo of Paralis here, who seems like she's doing something to the Earth's magnetic poles. Cool little cameo here. Then they talk about something insanely important. They talk about a fixed point in time, an absolute point which was mentioned in What If Season 1, where we saw Doctor Strange try to change an absolute point in time, which we basically learned that you cannot change an absolute point in time, and if you do, it will result in the destruction of that universe. And he mentions a callback to Doctor Strange as well. He mentions the Kamar-Taj, which is where the Ancient One taught Doctor Strange. So this is big because this essentially lets us know that the attack on Genosha had to happen and it can't be undone. So that basically erases the possibility of this whole event being undone and Gambit returning. If Gambit is indeed going to come back, he is not going to come back by Cable, Bishop, or somebody else reversing what happened in Genosha, because we now know that that cannot happen. It is an absolute point. Every time Cable went back in time to try and prevent it from happening, his gear kind of freaked out and he got pulled back to the future. And him and his AI, essentially his tech, explained that they get pulled back every time, no matter what. It's out of their control. Basically telling us, yes, it is an absolute point in time. We can't undo it. Then all of a sudden, X-Men Jean realizes why Madeline was so happy when she saw her for the last time in Genosha. She realizes that Cable came back and saw Madeline, and she says, that explains why Madeline was happy before she duh. She cuts it off. She doesn't actually say dies, and we haven't seen her body yet. So the fact that she cut it off, she didn't actually say she died, and we haven't seen her body yet, a part of me thinks that she is still alive. And that would certainly complicate things even more for Cyclops and Jean, especially since they do seem to be getting along pretty well now, and they are kind of together now. Also, another really important part is that if you take a look at the scene, when Cable's tech is pulled up, it looks like he is looking at somewhat of a sacred timeline. We see a timeline, and we do see branches coming out of that timeline. We also see very important events that happen in the timeline as well. As you can see on the top here, we see the X-Men symbol, and to the right of that, we see the logos and the symbols for Professor X and Magneto. Then on the bottom, it looks like we see the logo for Marvel Girl, aka Jean Grey. This is most likely the event where Charles actually found Jean Grey and took her in. Now, do keep in mind that Marvel Studios and Disney have listed X-Men 97 under the multiverse saga of Marvel. So they are in the MCU. They are simply not in our main sacred timeline that we've known from the very first Iron Man up until now, but they do exist in the overall multiverse in their own universe. So I do believe there is some sort of a connection. Will that actually happen? Will we see it happen in Secret Wars? I hope so, but we're unsure at this point in time. Now, this is where some things happen where I believe are going to influence the Avengers vs. X-Men storyline that we could possibly get. We see on the news that Bastion has showed the entire world that Professor X is not actually dead and the X-Men have lied to everyone. This is so Bastion can turn all of the humans against the X-Men. He wants them to fear them so they can go up against them. And there are many other points in this episode that show that, which we'll go over. Then when we go to Jubilee and Sunspot, we see on the TV, we see William Stryker. It's actually cut off a little bit. It just simply says M. Stryker. But of course, this is William Stryker, a cool little Easter egg there. We also see that Roberto's mother still really doesn't want anybody to know that he's a mutant. She doesn't really care about mutants, but they just kind of put on the facade that they do, doing fundraisers and charities to help support them, to help support the survivors of Genosha, but she really doesn't care. It's almost like an excuse to kind of throw a party and let's say, oh, we'll help because my son happens to be a mutant, but nobody can know that my son is a mutant. And again, this is pushing ideas into Roberto and Jubilee's mind that humans won't really ever accept mutants. They might tolerate them, but again, the title of this episode is Tolerance is Extinction, and we're getting to a part to where the mutants will no longer tolerate tolerance. They don't want humans to simply tolerate them. They want to live in harmony beside them. So if humans are only going to tolerate them, that means eventually the mutants will go extinct. And again, I think half of the X-Men are going to think this and half of them won't. We then cut back to Rogue, who is still unconscious from the attack from the Prime Sentinel Trask. And here we get a really cool backstory that Nightcrawler tells us. Nightcrawler is the son of Mystique. And Mystique is actually kind of the adopted mother of Rogue. She takes her in when she finds her. She trains her and ultimately ends up bringing her to Magneto. So eventually, Rogue and Nightcrawler would go on to find each other and they would realize their connection, that they essentially have the same mother. So here they would go on to view each other as brother and sister. Also, something really important in this scene is that Jean tells us that essentially she felt and continues to feel everything Madeline felt when she was pregnant with Nathan. So even though she was not the one that was physically pregnant with Nathan and wasn't with Cyclops at that time, she still feels like she was. She experienced it herself because of that psychic connection. Those experiences and feelings are almost her own. This is why we see her kind of take the mother role over Cable in this episode. Like, she eventually tells him, put on a seatbelt. She's looking after him. She's taking care of him. And it does sort of start to feel like a mother-son dynamic. Like when the Blackbird is going down, she even calls him by his actual name. She goes, Nathan, get in the back. And he kind of gives off like a teenager response, telling her, quit telling me what to do. Basically a teenager going, quit telling me what to do, Mom. And we see the Summers family really come together in this episode, which is awesome. We then go to Bastion's headquarters where we see Val Cooper, showing us that she was indeed working with Bastion and Mr. Sinister. We find out that Sinister is simply using Bastion so he can get more test subjects, which is his whole goal, Mr. Sinister, experimenting on mutants. And really interesting Easter egg here, at 10:01 in the episode, if you take a look at Magneto, you can take a look to the right and see the monitor. It's showing the news and it says FOH leader. That is the Friends of Humanity that we have seen throughout about this series. They do not like mutants, obviously. They want them gone. Well, they have the FOH leader on the news talking about everything, again showing that humanity is now turning against the mutants even more so than before. Now, Magneto isn't talking, but Val says, "I didn't know, I swear." She did know that Bastion was going to do something. She simply didn't know that it was going to be as big as a genocide at Genosha. More on this in a bit. We eventually go with the Summers family to Bastion's home. There's a cool Easter egg for a Sentinel robot and the Stark Expo you probably noticed right here. But here we essentially learn the origin story of Bastion. It's a little different from the comics origin of him, but it's kind of similar as well. In the comics, the Sentinel Nimrod, who we have actually seen before, goes into the Siege Perilous with Mastermold. And the two of them get reborn as one individual, a combination of Nimrod and Mastermold. This combination is Bastion. Now, ultimately, he does not remember anything about his past life being essentially programmed to eradicate mutants. So for a while, he lives as a normal human until eventually he does start to realize his prime objective. And from there on, he goes on to try to eliminate all of mutants, which is essentially what is going on now, who we know now to be Bastion. So in the scene, we learn that it's a little different, but essentially the same. Nimrod essentially infected Bastion's father, then got his mother pregnant, then they had Bastion. So essentially he was part human, part Sentinel. Then, as Cable explained to us in the beginning, Mastermold uploaded into Bastion. So essentially we do have the combination of Nimrod and Mastermold in Bastion in the animated series. Then after this scene, we find Val Cooper back now with Bastion. And we find out that he was essentially working with the UN, working with all of the world's governments in order to try and get them to go against mutants. And we have some awesome cameos here. We find out that he was working with Dr. Doom, but again, he didn't tell everybody everything. So Val Cooper says, "I swear I didn't know he was going to do this." But again, she didn't know that he was going to do it to such a big extent. She knew he was going to do something, and Doom essentially says the same thing here. He says, "Do not mistake Doom's collusion as indifference to flagrant war crimes," meaning, yes, we are colluding with each other. Yes, we are working together so Doom could get the X-Men out of his way, but he didn't know that he was essentially going to be participating in genocide of an entire species. So we see Dr. Doom, we see Baron Zemo. Really cool cameos here. Of course, we'll talk about more in just a bit. But one of the main parts here to take away is that they are all talking about this in front of Magneto. So Magneto hears that basically the entire world plotted against the mutants and Genosha. This is probably going to send Magneto over the edge. He'll be done trying to make what Professor Xavier has wanted to happen over all of this time. He's done with that. He's probably going to go back to his old thoughts, his old reasonings that humans and mutants can't live together and that mutants need to dominate humans as the superior species. This no doubt will leave an impression in Magneto's head that humans and mutants could never coexist. And I have a feeling that he's had enough of it, as he simply states with one word at the end, enough. But then Bastion goes on to explain to Val that eventually humans go extinct in about 100 years. In about 100 years, mutants outnumber humans 10 to 1. And essentially he is trying to save humanity by upgrading it to a race of prime sentinels. And remember, he'll make the mutants slaves in the future, the ones that he doesn't kill. Another thing is he shows us that basically the prime sentinels they have now are made by volunteers, humans who are kind of upset and tired of mutants. So most of the prime sentinels that we're seeing in this episode are humans who are volunteering to become prime sentinels to take out the mutants. And again, Magneto knows all of this. So then from here, the prime sentinels all activate, going against the X-Men. We get a crazy awesome scene with Wolverine and Nightcrawler, and we even see Wolverine go through one of Nightcrawler's teleportation portals. Looks absolutely epic, and I love that we got to focus on Wolverine and Nightcrawler here. We also see Jubilee and Sunspot. He finally activates his powers. He is able to fly, and they essentially escape the prime sentinels, but he runs to his mom for help, and she's essentially like, "I'm still so embarrassed, you're a mutant. Just go with these sentinels who are clearly bad, but go with them so I can try to save face with all my rich friends." Again, this is going to push Jubilee and Roberto more towards Magneto's side, that humans will never understand mutants. We get Cyclops and the Summers family back in the Blackbird. It gets destroyed once again, and they jump out in a Porsche. Cool little Easter egg right here. If you take a look at the license plate, it says Slim. This is a nickname, and actually the original name for Cyclops when he originally debuted. Eventually they would change his name to Scott, but Wolverine would continuously call him Slim. Now eventually Val lets Magneto go, saying that she realizes that he was right. However, I think she more along the lines let him go because she realized that Bastion himself was going to eliminate the human race with his prime sentinels, and they're going to need Magneto and the X-Men to help stop him. So he goes to the North Pole where the Earth's magnetic sphere is the strongest, and he lets out essentially an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, deactivating eliminating all Prime Sentinels and it seems like all the power in the world. He does this as he says, enough. The guy had one word the entire episode and it was the most epic thing. And I think enough tells us enough. It tells us all we need to know. Magneto is done. But of course, we have to talk about the cameos. Animated Spider-Man, the crossover again, confirmed he is here in the X-Men 97 animated series. We also see Silver Samurai and Omega Red. Keep in mind, X-Men 97 is confirmed for a season 2 and a season 3. Perhaps these characters will become big characters in those seasons, and perhaps Spider-Man will show up to fight with the Avengers in these last two episodes. Fingers crossed. But again, going back to Magneto, he's done. He's had enough. He's done playing nice with the humans. He's done trying to live in their world. He wants to make it his world. And this is where the conflict comes in because, as we know, Professor X comes back. This is where I think we're going to see the divide. A lot of people have been thinking that Cyclops might be going towards an anti-hero arc, and that still could very well be the case. He could, after seeing everything, side with Magneto. I think Rogue might side with Magneto as well. She kind of went off the grid last time. And even Beast, Hank McCoy. Things he said in episode 6 kind of make it sound like he was leaning more towards Magneto's side as well. But then I think we have people like Wolverine and Morph, maybe even Jean, maybe even another divide between Cyclops and Jean. Jean might join Professor X's side as well, because I still believe Professor X is going to believe in coexistence. But I do believe that Magneto is truly done. And I do believe the Avengers are going to come in, because this is too big for the Avengers to not be involved. So if the Avengers do come in, they're clearly going to join the side of Professor Xavier. That would mean the Avengers, along with some of the X-Men, would be going up against another team of X-Men, or if you want to call them the Brotherhood of Mutants, you could. But it will essentially be Magneto's X-Men versus Professor X's X-Men and some Avengers. I hope they do this. I think it makes a lot of sense. And again, I think they've shown us throughout several episodes some of the X-Men kind of leaning more towards Magneto's point of view. Storm could be another one. She had her powers taken away. She saw firsthand what humanity thinks of mutants. She might side with Magneto. Jubilee and Sunspot might side with him as well. I do think there's going to be a big divide, and we'll have to see how it plays out, but no matter how it plays out, I hope the Avengers do show up. But go ahead and let me know your thoughts in the comments down below. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think we'll see a conflict between the X-Men? What do you think will happen? Let us know in the comments down below, and please don't forget to like the video and subscribe to the channel to stay up to date on the X-Men 97 video breakdowns and the MCU. And again, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And as always, thank you all so much for watching. Woof woof.